Let's pray. Lord, bless our study, and thank you again for your word in the life of Abraham, which you recorded for us to learn from and to live by. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 25, verses 1 through 11. Abraham again took a wife, and her name was Keturah. Did you know he was married again? You do now. Three times, actually, but we're not counting. Hagar. Yeah. And she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. Jokshan began Sheba and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Asherim, Latushim, and Luemim. I should have had Pastor Jim read this. And the sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hanak, Abida, and Eldah. Eldah, maybe, huh? All these were the children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. But Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines which Abraham had. And while he was still living, he sent them eastward away from Isaac his son to the country of the east. This is the sum of the years of Abraham's life which he lived. 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age. An old man full of years, and he was gathered to his people. And his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, the field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth. There Abraham was buried, and Sarah his wife. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac. And Isaac dwelt at Beer Lahai Roy. All right? There's a lot here, even though it's 11 verses, there's a lot of things that at least will make it help you understand when and how and all this. So Abraham, number one, remarries. Abraham remarries. Any idea when? How old he was? We didn't cover it. But Sarah died before the last chapter. So she died in Genesis chapter 23, which we skipped altogether. It was more or less Abraham buying this cave that you actually hear about over and over in the Bible. Different people are buried. Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Leah. And I think Joseph is eventually buried there. Okay? But Sarah was 127 years old when she died. How old was Abraham? How much older than Sarah was Abraham? That's pretty easy, actually. Anyone recall? How old? 10 years. When Isaac was born, Abraham was 100. When Isaac was born, Sarah was 90, right? So 10 years older. So she dies when she's 127. That makes Abraham 137-ish, right? Somewhere around there. So he is getting remarried somewhere in that time frame of 137. Isaac gets married when he's 40. And that's sometime after his mom dies. Remember, he's married and he's comforted after his mother's death. It's said in chapter 25, right? Or 24. Okay? So, he remarries sometime 137 plus years. Okay? Somewhere in that time frame. Years old. Because that's when Sarah died. Now, some people argue that, well, he might have had, in order for them to have six children, he might have, he would have had to have Keturah before then or whatever. There's no indication of that at all. The NIV suggests that in its translation, but when you look at all the commentaries, they know the wording isn't like that. He had taken Keturah. It doesn't say that, okay? So he marries Keturah after Sarah dies, okay? Just an FYI, when did Abraham die?
175.
Okay, so let's say he gets married at 140. We're just guessing, but it seems to be shortly after Sarah dies. 175 minus 140 is how much?
35.
Yeah, is 35 years long enough to have six children? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, so I think my wife and I had, what, how many? And Sammy's will be five next year. We'll be married about 27 years. We had 15 kids. Okay, so. All right. Questions or comments on that?
I'm just curious. My mentality didn't bring up the fact that he was married before with two. Hagar.
Yeah.
Why did not he pursue Hagar? Because Hagar was already his wife. That's a.
It probably would have been a dishonor to his wife. I don't know. Maybe she wasn't alive anymore. Any number of things. I don't know. Doesn't. Yeah. Good thought.
I mean, here he finds somebody new, and apparently she must have been young enough to have six children.
Yeah.
Was that all?
And Hagar might not have, or she might not have been around or whatever, too. But it might be, too, as a...
Pardon?
All things are
possible.
Based upon the promises of God, yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, by the way, too, at the time Isaac is married, he's 40. Isaac is 40, okay? I'm just trying to get you... Isaac is 40. How old is Ishmael? If we're talking 140 years.
He's in his 50s.
He's like 14 years older. So Ishmael, you're thinking kids, right? But they're not.
In our
Well, but I'm saying still, you know, they're not teenagers. That's what I'm thinking, you know, that sometimes you think that way. But I tell you, your mind changes completely when you start doing the math, okay? Let's look at number two now. Abraham fathers six more children, six more sons, okay? There are six sons. And by the way, I put these down here. I'm a genealogy freak, so I had to stop while I was ahead. This is down to the third generation of Abraham's descendants. Okay? This is by Sarah. And by the way, it's only because the Bible doesn't record, like for instance with Ishmael, after Ishmael's 12 sons that God said he would have, which he did. It doesn't record their children. So that's why this is smaller, because Ishmael would have had a lot of grandkids, right? So you can see the difference. But here's Keturah, and I put down ones are the six kids, right? And this is just breaking down these two verses here. It's verses 2 and 3 and 4, I guess. But there's Zimran, Jokshan, Midian, Midian, Ishban and Shua.
What names?
Yeah. But it's interesting because, remember, he has one son by Hagar, his first son. Second son, Isaac, by Sarah, the son of promise. And very delayed, by the way, right? Because Isaac only had two kids. And that was 20 years after they got married. Rebecca couldn't have children. Okay, so here's six more sons, and then you have, it tells you that Jokshan has Sheba and Dedan. And by the way, the Asherim, Letushim, and the Laumim. The I am is like an S. So it's actually not a name of a person. It's a name of a people group. Like you could say Asherites. You could say Latushites. You could say Lemimites. Or you could say Lemims, Ashers. You know, it's people groups. So it's whole groups of people. Now, what does that remind you of? God had told Abraham he was going to be a father of what? Many nations. Not just Isaac, and not even Ishmael. He would be a father of many nations. Well, here's six more sons. And by the way, when you get three generations down, each one of those is a distinct nation at that point, okay? Now, this is too small to read on the back, but that's what this is here for. I just couldn't fit it. So, you know, it's tiny, but let me read some of it. I tried to take out some of the details, and I'll just skim over it, but it gives you an idea of how many different nations are represented just by the sons of Keturah. All right? And I'm just going to read it fast.
That's what these are, by Keturah?
Yes, it's explaining Keturah's descendants that are listed in the in that passage there, okay? Zimran, Medan, and Ishbak are not traceable. Okay, they're not sure. Although we may assume, based upon their brothers, that they are generally related to the region of Arabia. Jokshan is usually located in Arabia, like Saudi Arabia, okay? Simply due to his children's locations, Sheba and Dedan. Jokshan should not be equated with Joktan of the Shemites in the Table of Nations. I could have skipped that, I guess. Shua is the home of Bildad, one of Job's friends, whose residences also are also usually associated with Arabia. Shua has been equated, however, with the Euphrates site Shuhu in northeast Syria, which is located on an important trade route in the first millennium. But the context of Arabian sites for the genealogy questions this identification. Another sibling, Midian, is the best known of the children born to Abraham and Keturah. Traditionally, the region of the, you've heard of the Midianites, right? Was northwest Arabia, the territory stretching along the eastern shore of the Gulf of Aqaba, which is the eastern edge of Saudi Arabia. The major oasis of that region is Bad. Biblical references, however, show that they roamed far, including the southern Transjordan, which is the east side of the Jordan River, the Arabah, another desert, Egypt and Syria. They also are also associated with the Ishmaelites who traded with Egypt. Remember who purchased Joseph? They were Ishmaelite traders. Okay? So the bands of people were growing and growing. The exchange of the terms Midianites and Ishmaelites in Genesis can be accounted for on the basis of a latter assimilation of the two peoples. So that apparently the Midianites and Ishmaelites kind of melded together. Sheba and Dedan, as the offspring of Jokshan in the Keturah genealogy, may be confused with the tribes bearing the name, same names who are identified as the sons of Ramah, the Hamitic lineage. Let's see, I'm going to jump down here. The names of Jokshan and Joktan cannot be equated. However, and the Sheba of the Shemite lineage probably is the famous, was the famous Southwest Arabian people. Some of the as for the Keturah descendants, Sheba and Dedan can be differentiated from the Hamitic tribes, if you will, the descendants of Ham, a son of Noah, right? This is not exciting, but it's interesting. Where did I lost it. The children of Dedan are three people groups whose names are the only ones in the genealogy listed in the Hebrew plural. Asherites, the Latushites, and the Lemites. The same plural feature designates certain peoples in the Table of Nations. Asher is a name occurring for different people groups. Lemites in Hebrew means clan or tribe people, but here refers to a whole people group. That these three unknown tribes were related to Dedan suggests they were subgroups of Dedan or located nearby in the same Northwest Arabian region. Okay. The last section now. The grandchildren of Abraham who descended through Midian are five. So Midian had five kids. These five tribes or place names probably were located in Midian or nearby. Ephah is mentioned again in Isaiah 60, where it appears with Midian, referring to their spice trade by camel caravans. Scholars usually identify it with the Arabian tribe Hyippa, named in Assyrian text that place in that area. The old identification of Ephah with the site Ruwafa, Pastor Jim should have read this too, 100 miles southeast of Bod, has been recently challenged. Like Ephah, the remaining descendants, Epher, Hanok, Abida, and Elda'a, are difficult to locate confidently, though most scholars assume they were in northwest Arabia, associated with towns or oases along caravan routes. My only point is this, is that Abraham's descendants became all kinds of people, some of which you've heard. The Midianites were tormentors at the time of Gideon. Remember that? The Midianites were the ones that were oppressing them, for example. So they grew into many nations. And that's my only point with that. I didn't mean to bore you too much. But just with that idea. Let me see, what else? Okay, that's good. You can just see, that we're looking at that descendant chart again here, just how many, you know, if Ishmael had 12 sons, man alive, how many, if each one had, you know, a couple of kids, it would grow exponentially. And then Keturah, even with her six, it doesn't tell you about Zimran, Medan, Ishban, and Shua. It's just not recorded there. So who knows how many more descended from there. So
how large is the Arabic nations?
Yeah.
That, I mean, that's...
And who's all connected to whom, but a lot of them are probably related in some way, shape, or form to Abraham, you know, on one side or the other kind of thing. Okay, number three, Abraham divides his wealth. Now he does this, he did it before in one way, he sent Ishmael away with Hagar. Remember with the bottle of water and something else? It was nothing almost. And then it says here, Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. But Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines which Abraham had. And while he was still living, he sent them eastward away from Isaac, his son, to the country of the east. Now, part of the, you understand the authority that a father had at that time, to kind of tell people where to even live, okay? But also, everything he gave to Isaac. Isaac was the son of promise. He was the one that was the heir of everything. But notice, Abraham, which is different than what initially happened to Ishmael, is he gave gifts to the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, okay? And then he sent them east. Now, gifts, it could possibly be enough to kind of be set up and do something on your own. You know, enough cattle, enough livestock or whatever to kind of survive on your own. What do you see there? Did you catch anything at all? The sons of the what? It's plural. And yet it only talks about Keturah. I'm like, well, this could still be true that there's only three wives, which I believe there are because it didn't bring up any more, okay? But who were Abraham's concubines? Help me out here. Who was his first concubine?
Hagar?
Yeah. Sarah, Hagar. Hagar was a concubine. In reality, she wasn't a full-fledged wife, even though he gave it to his wife, she was still a concubine. And then Keturah, right? So who are the sons of the concubines? Hagar's kids and Keturah's kids. Who's Hagar's kids? It's very possible that here, Ishmael finally received something. Remember before he was sent away with nothing, and then the six sons here. So this would be the sons of the concubines. That would be legitimate to say.
Now my question would be, Keturah, is she, as a concubine, she's not necessarily, I'm going to use the word Semitic people, person?
No idea.
Because Hagar was an Egyptian.
Yeah, no idea. It doesn't say. Her name means like spices of incense or something like that. And some people think that maybe that indicates where she came from, but that's total speculation.
Yeah, but
my name means handsome. Shows you how much that gets, right? Sarah was his wife. This is concubine number one and concubine number two. Sarah was his wife. Okay. Concubine is basically you rank less. You are a lower rank, and therefore your children do not have the same status. You don't rank the same as the wife.
You're not a wife.
Servant.
You're like a wife, but you're not as high up. Like, I don't know. But I mean, you're married.
You're married to a concubine?
Yeah. Sarah gave Hagar to be Abraham's wife, says clearly. So it's not, it's just that it's more of a ranking system, really. I mean, Solomon had 300 wives and 600 concubines.
Sure he did.
So how did the ranking system go with the 300 wives?
Yeah, I don't know. But all I'm saying is you had different levels of privilege with the wife than you do with a concubine, including your children. Yes, Abraham is my father, but I am not a joint heir with Isaac. Okay? So he still recognized them as his children and all of that. It wasn't an issue, but Isaac was the son of promise, and through Isaac your seeds shall be blessed. And so therefore, instead of dividing everything up evenly, Isaac got this, and the sons of his concubines, which would have been Ishmael, and these six sons would have gotten gifts, which I'm sure they appreciated. And in our culture, like, that's not fair. Well, in their culture, they would have been like, yeah. Thank you, Dad. Yeah. So, okay. Does that make sense? I don't know the full concubinage thing. Yeah. I'm guessing there was rank within wives. There most certainly was.
We have a different.
But your kids are of the wives are all royalty. The kids of the concubines are not.
We have a different concept of marriage today than what they did then. Because the concubine was there for the purpose of servicing the husband in the absence of the wife. But she was the servant to the wife. That's basically.
Well, but that's not true here because the wife was dead.
Well.
But I'm saying, I think it's.
I mean, as far as the arrangement was concerned.
Yeah.
I mean, that was basically the way Hagar was Sarah's servant.
Right.
End of statement. She was there to.
But then Sarah gave Hagar to be Abram's wife. So I think she was put back down into a concubine state. Because originally it wasn't, I think it was not meant to be that way.
Well, but Hagar. Whenever Keturah was taken as a wife,
right.
Concubine, same as Hagar, is like, it's more like you get a wife number one, you get wives two and three, their kids don't rank as good as wife number one.
Right. And I think it's more of just a privilege or status. I mean, maybe we're thinking too hard on it. Because I don't think it was an issue.
We're thinking in our terms.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but it's a privilege thing more than anything else. And that becomes evident. And I think it would even have been, you know, it has to be officially a concubine situation for Keturah so that there is no misunderstanding who is the inheritor of everything. And that's why Abraham even took care of all of the gifting and all that before he died. It totally established it. There was no argument after his death. Okay. So it's kind of awkward for us to think about, but certainly he had nothing wrong with him remarrying, you know, or anything like that. There's not an issue there. It just seems to be a privilege issue that has to do with that. If you're a concubine, you're of a lower legal status. So for inheritance purposes, it's different. And that's exactly what it was.
Could you imagine how much?
That doesn't mean he was unkind. It doesn't mean he, you know, didn't love Keturah or whatever. It just means that that's the status.
It amazes me the wealth of which Abraham had at this time.
Yeah.
So that he could disperse to these people all that he had.
Yeah.
And how it's God really blessed him materially.
Yeah.
That beyond, and I, you know, we think of Job and how much Job had accumulated wealth and where he was and what he lost.
Yeah.
And
what he gained.
Well, yeah. Amazing. Just blows my mind.
Abraham might have been wealthy before he even moved to Canaan because his father had died and he probably made sheep and goats.
Right.
Yeah,
and then he was, what is it?
Abimelech
gave him a bunch of stuff to make sure that, you know, when I took your wife, nothing happened here. It's an honor.
Get out of here.
Yeah. So, yeah. So he just continued to grow as you normally would, you know, as your flocks expand and things like that. I mean, way back when he had 314 trained servants in his own house. To go rescue Lot and all the people of those five cities that were taken away captive.
Train sir.
Oh.
Never mind.
Bing! There's. Glad that's over. Okay, number four. Abraham dies. Okay? It says here, this is the sum of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man full of years, and was gathered to his people. Gathered to his people, what do you think of there? Yeah, it doesn't specify. But it certainly is indicative of an afterlife. If you're just turning to dirt, that's not really gathering to people. Because the people are still in existence, okay? So there's an ongoing existence for people that have died. That even in the New Testament, God said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not I was. Okay? That was one of Jesus' responses to the Sadducees who didn't believe in a resurrection. He says, God is the God. He says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He wouldn't talk about them like that if they were not in existence. Okay?
We have a very skewed idea of what life is. As we think it's physical, but God looks at it as more of a spiritual thing, where your body is a temporal thing, not a.
Yeah.
I mean, we have when a person dies, we label a person dead, not realizing that. Yeah.
Yeah, we think death is ceasing to exist.
Yeah.
It's a total, yeah, like you said, it's against what the Bible clearly teaches. Let me read Hebrews 11, 11 through 16. I have that passage in your notes here, but I don't have it written down. But starting in verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Now, this is what I want to point out here. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So the idea that when Abraham died, everything that God had promised him had come to pass. Okay, understand that. It was going to come to pass. So, and they were confident that everything that God had promised, he had done it up to this point, he will do it. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Okay? So I just wanted to highlight that one there. Number five, Abraham is buried. Okay? It says here in verses 9 and 10, his sons, and interestingly enough, Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite. That's where Abraham had purchased the cave in Genesis 23 that we skipped. And that, so now he's being buried with Sarah. In the field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth, where Abraham was buried and Sarah his wife. Okay, by his two sons, his primary sons. It's interesting that Ishmael is still prominent. Okay, not bad. It's interesting that he's there. Help me out here. He dies when he's 175. How old is Isaac? Yeah, Isaac's easy, right? How old is Ishmael?
15 years old or
14
years old?
Yeah, probably about 89 years old. So you can understand that Abraham probably had a significant number of descendants on earth before he died when you count the descendants. Even if they got married later, the sons of Keturah, some of them might have already had families. Okay, because he was married for up to 38 years, 35 years, you know, something around there. But doesn't that paint a different picture? You're thinking, you know, young sons burying their... No, these guys are older. Okay? My dad's going to be 76 in December. He's 75 right now. That'll give my kids a little perspective. Okay? So, that gives you an idea. We're going to go over a timeline in just a second with our last few minutes here. So the last one is, it came to pass after the death of... By the way, Ishmael still honored his father, which is kind of neat, right? The rest had been sent east. So they weren't there, I guess. So, you know, they don't rush home when you live in the east. It doesn't happen that way. When you don't have the communication and and fast transportation. So God continues his promise with Isaac. So God continues his promise with Isaac. Do we have two blanks or what? Okay, just one. God continues his promise with Isaac. He says, it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac. Isaac is how old? 75. Now, on the back side, I have a timeline that I created. This was kind of fun. He's 75 years old when he leaves Haran. Abraham is. Abram at the time. He's 85, when, give or take, when Sarah gives Hagar. Why do we know that? Because Ishmael is born when he's 86. And it says here, she gave her to her husband after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So we're going off the 75, right? Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. Now look at, he's 99 years old when the Lord appeared to him and promised that he would have a son by Sarah this time next year. And also that's when God instituted the covenant sign of circumcision. Abraham was circumcised that very day with all of his household. He was 99 years old. Ishmael was 13. Okay? So it gives you a time frame here. He was 100 years old when Isaac was born to him. Okay? That's pretty easy. Sarah lived 127 years. These are the years of Sarah's life. That's in Genesis 23:1. So he's roughly 137, 138, 136, you know, depending on when the... Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as wife and the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Paddan, Amram, the sister of Laban of the Syrian. So he's 140 then, right? Because he was 100 when Isaac was born. He's 40. Isaac's 40. So that makes Abraham 140. Pretty easy math. Afterwards, his brother came out and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, so his name is called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah bore the twins. What's that tell you? That Jacob and Esau, Isaac's 60 when they're born, Isaac's 75. So who's around?
Abraham's around when his kids are born. Abraham is around when the twins were born.
Yeah, for 15 years they were around. Jacob and Esau were 15 years old, roughly, when Abraham died. Okay? They kind of bring some loops back because later on in this chapter is when Esau and Jacob are born, and then when Jacob cheats Esau for the first time. Okay? So they kind of finish off with Abraham and then start off with Isaac and then Jacob and Esau. So even in this time frame here, that means that Jacob and Esau were around 15 years before. So Abraham saw his grandkids from Isaac. Okay? And then he was 175 years old when he died. Isn't that kind of cool? Just to kind of piece it all together. By the way, we looked at this early on, but after the flood, before the flood, people were living, if you died young at 700. After the flood, it goes down from, you know, a couple of hundred years, and it's slowly declining. Jacob, when he dies, toward the end of Genesis, says, I'm 100 and some odd years old. Few and what? Something have been my years. Well, you can only say that if your predecessors are used to living a lot longer, which is what the case was. Jacob dies, I think, earlier than his father did. Okay, so. Questions or comments? Next week, we're going to cover the rest of Genesis chapter 25, which will get us into Esau and Jacob. That will be the first lesson of the new year that the teachers teach. So after next Sunday, we're going to have different stuff, family type Sunday schools, single service kind of stuff, until January. So they won't teach next week's until January. So I always like to stay a week ahead so they got something to go on. So. All right, we'll have other special things we do. So. Questions, comments? 175 years old. It's hard to get out of bed now.
I know a lady that was under 15 right now.
Really? That's amazing. though, in North Carolina, they had over 3,000 people that were over 110 years old voting, so that's not a big deal out there, apparently.
She's one of two oldest women in the world.
Really? And she lives in, out in West Des Moines.
Well, she lives at Bishop Drum now.
She has seen a lot.
A lot of things have changed in her lifetime.
Well, you're talking about 1898, right? Summer 1897. My grandpa was born in 1899. But you've seen the whole, all the wars, all the going from horse and buggy to rockets and drones and everything in between. That's just, there's just.
To a smart car.
Yeah.
My dad was born in 1895.
Your dad was?
And he lived to be 97.
Wow. I think my great-grandma on my mom's side lived to be in the high 90s, but otherwise, they, God gets rid of us early. So, 80s.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. I bring this up. I think of my lifetime. My grandma died when I was young, about 8, 9, maybe 10 years old. But she remembered my father being born and then me being born. I was the last one of the last of the grandchildren. Then she died. Now, my cousins and I have children, and my cousin's mother saw her grandchildren, and it doesn't seem like we go beyond the one generation following our generation.
Yeah, if you can see your children's children, it's a huge thing.
It's a huge thing.
Yeah. Yeah, your grandchildren's grandchildren. Yeah. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for Abraham's life again and all that you showed yourself faithful through, and how Abraham, even though he died and did not receive all the promises, you will be faithful and fulfill every single promise of that land, seed, and blessing that you have promised to him and his descendants. Thank you that you are the God who keeps his promises, and we just praise you for that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.